Beginning in verse number 15, Paul says this, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad at the coming of Stephanas, and Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for that which is lacking on your part have they supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us something that's authoritative. Father, something that can feed our soul. And God, we're in need of your word here tonight. And I pray, Father, through these four verses that we've briefly read tonight, through our study of them, that God, you would give us something to digest, something, Father, that would nourish us and feed us, and Father, open our eyes to the wonderful truths of the Word of God. Lord, bless our study of your Word tonight to each and every heart. I pray that every one of us would get fed and get something tonight that would encourage us and challenge us. Bless your Word, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. As we've got to this section of 1 Corinthians 16, we saw, first of all, in verse 13 and 14, we saw some practical comments. We looked at those a couple of weeks ago, the practical comments, the five commands for today's Christian in verse 13 and 14. Those were, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, and then verse 14, let all things be done with charity. We talked about being watchful and being faithful and being manful and powerful and careful. Those were the five commands. Those were Paul's practical comments. Tonight, in verse 15 to 18, we see some personal comments. And these comments, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, center around one man. Some others are named, but mainly about one man, and that man's name is Stephanas. Now, very little is said about Stephanas, but in this case, little is much. And again, I love the Word of God. Brother Griffith said one time, talked about the Bible in the economy of words, and I've remembered that phrase. That in just a few words, so much information can be communicated. And though we only read of Stephanas in two different places, and we'll look at the other one in just a moment, only two different places in the Bible, so much is said about him, and that's what we're going to look at here tonight. Notice, first of all, if you would, in verse 15 and 16, we see the household of Stephanas. The household of Stephanas. It says in verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth from either the city of Ephesus or Philippi. There's some discussion about what one of the two places he's writing it from. But either way, he's 100 miles away as he writes this letter back to the church at Corinth. And he says to those people in Corinth, he said, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas. The household of Stephanas was the family of Stephanas that lived in Corinth. And he's writing to the Corinthian church from a distance and saying, I remember that family. I remember their testimony. I remember what they did, and I want you to be encouraged by that family. Notice he speaks, first of all, about their conversion. He says in verse number 15, you remember, he said, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. The first fruits of Achaia. Now, Achaia is what we might call Greece. It's that little part of Asia. It's that little part where they crossed the Aegean Sea and got into Macedonia and Corinth and some of the other places there, if you look on the map from that time. That's where Achaia is. And Paul says, you remember in Achaia, they were the first converts, the first fruits, the first ones to believe in all that region of Achaia. A missionary never forgets his first convert. And here we have the Apostle Paul remembering in the city of Corinth where he was for 18 months preaching the gospel, and he could name you the first people, the first fruits, the first ones that got saved. It was the household of Stephanas. Look back, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse number 16. Let's begin in verse 14. He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you. Isn't that a statement for the greatest soul winner that ever lived? I thank God that I baptized none of you. There's some folks that think that salvation is by baptism. And Paul's saying, I'm thankful I didn't baptize any of you. Well, salvation was by baptism, then Paul didn't convert anybody. But he was the greatest converter of all time outside the Lord Jesus Christ himself on his missions trips, establishing churches and getting people. But salvation wasn't by baptism, so Paul wasn't worried about that. He said, I didn't baptize you. He's saying, I'm thank God because he didn't want their loyalties, if you understand the passage right there. But he said in verse 15, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. Verse 16, and I baptized also, verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. And then he said, lest any should baptize in my name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Paul saying to the church at Corinth back in 1 Corinthians, he's saying, I baptized Crispus and Gaius and the household of Stephanas. Then back here in 1 Corinthians 16, he tells us the household of Stephanas got saved before Crispus and Gaius did. They were the first fruits of Achaia. Paul remembered his first converts. I could tell you the name of the first person that I led to the Lord on the mission field. His name, it sounds funny to us, Stevenson Suzuki. Not Yamaha, but Suzuki. Getting to the mission field on the island of Panape in 1983, not speaking the language. The church had visitation on Thursday nights, and I thought, what am I going to do? I can't talk. I showed up for visitation anyway. I said, I can just be with the other guy that is talking. And I got there, and one of the fellows that I knew, one of the young men my age, he said, let's go to the community college. He said, from all the islands, they send all the kids here, and they live in the dormitories, and because they all speak different island languages, they teach in the college, they teach in English, let's go there. We went on visitation that first Thursday night in March of 1983. We went to the community college, and we got to speak to this young man that was sitting there, give him a gospel tract, and he bowed his head, and he got saved. And I'll never forget the name, Stevenson Suzuki. Paul said, I remember the household of Stephanas. They were the first fruits in Achaia. They were converted under the ministry of Paul. Now, I want you to turn to another passage real quickly. Look at Romans chapter 16. This is a little bit of Bible study tonight, so let's look at Romans chapter 16. Paul said, the household of Stephanas was the first fruits. Those were the first people he led to the Lord into Achaia. Look at Romans chapter 16 and verse 5. Paul is sending greetings back to the church at Rome. And he says to the church at Rome, likewise greet the church that is in their house. That's Priscilla and Aquila up in verse 3. He says, salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Now some have insisted there's a contradiction there. The household of Stephanas was the first fruits. Paul says here, Epaphroditus was the first fruits. And so you know what all the new Bibles do. Because there's a contradiction, they have to fix it themselves. And so in Romans chapter 16 and verse 5, they have Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Christ, who is the first fruits of Asia unto Christ. They change it from Achaia, the small little section, the small little island of Greece, to all of Asia. And they change it because they can't relate the two passages and think there's contradiction. You know, I've decided a long time ago that when I see something that looks like it contradicts itself in the Bible, I'll just leave the contradiction to God and figure there's an explanation, not try to change it and reason it out. But again, all the new Bibles in Romans 16:5, they change Achaia to Asia so that there's not a contradiction. Isn't it possible that when Paul was preaching that first service in Corinth, that as he gave the invitation, so to speak, at the end of the service, I'm not sure how Paul did it, but we'll put it in our terminology, that he gave the invitation at the end, that the household of Stephanas came forward to get saved, and so did a fellow named Epaphroditus? Isn't it just as possible that that is, or more possible than that there's a mistake in the Bible that needed to be corrected? It just depends on how your mind works. See, some folks want to assume that the Bible's wrong, and so they have to make their adjustments that way. Now, I will simply say this. The Greek text behind our Bible, as compared to all the others, has a different word there. All the Greek texts for the other Bibles say Asia. The Greek text for our Bible says Achaia. So that's where the problem lies, not just in the English translation, but in the Greek text. They're coming from different texts and different manuscripts. That's why they differ.
All right, so there's an explanation for the difference in all the Bibles, and yet the people using them have no clue why theirs is different than others. They're looking at different manuscripts. Someone back in that one, and we won't talk about who it is, but someone in that one tried to fix the contradiction by their own wisdom, and it just doesn't overrule the teachings of the Word of God. There are two different people that got saved the first time Paul preached, at least two. Gaius, we read about the others that were near close to being the first fruits. So there was a group of people that got saved. There's no contradiction there. The household of Stephanas was the first fruits unto Christ in Achaia. Notice then secondly, if you would, as we talk about the household of Stephanas back in verse number 15. We've seen their conversion. Now we see their commitment. Their commitment. It says in verse 15, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now I don't have to say a lot about that phrase, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, because Brother John preached a real good message on that a few months ago, on that verse and that phrase, being addicted to the ministry of the saints. And he pointed out that this is a good addiction. It's good to have a good addiction. We all have addictions. To food, to coffee. I won't go any farther and name a whole lot more. I might start naming some of mine if I do that. So we won't. But we all have addictions. Aaron accused me tonight. I walked past the peanut jar. We have shelled peanuts in the house because it's a fairly healthy snack that I can get when I want to grab some. And I went by and I grabbed one and cracked it. And Aaron said, "You're addicted to peanuts." What is addiction? Well, addiction is defined, an addict is one who's defined as one who has hopefully given up to something. Hopefully given up to something. Addictions are hard to break. These folks were addicted to the ministry of the saints. Wouldn't that be a great addiction to have? Paul said about them, they go out of their way. They were not asked to minister to the saints. They were not ordained to minister to the saints. They were not appointed to minister to the saints. They simply volunteered and went out of their way and looked for opportunities to be involved in the ministry of the saints. They looked out for the other people in the church at Corinth. They watched for them. They looked for a need. They didn't have to go around and ask. They didn't have to be asked. They looked for someone they could serve and they filled in that spot. We could use a lot of folks like the household of Stephanas in the church today. And I'm not saying we don't have folks like that. We do. But what a wonderful challenge to be aware and looking for an opportunity to serve. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They saw a need and they met it. They looked for a need. You know what a lot of folks do? They look for a need and then tell somebody else about it. But the household of Stephanas looked for a need. What can I do? Where can I serve? How can I be a blessing? How can I be a help? That needs to be the attitude of all the saints of God. How can I be a blessing to somebody else? How can I help somebody else? It'll take away that big finger at pointing ourselves all the time and wondering, God, why don't you do something for me and give to me and do something on my behalf? When we start looking for others, the household of Stephanas, their commitment, they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Why don't we replace a bad addiction with a good addiction? And whatever it is that we're investing in the bad addiction, invest it in the good one and watch God turn things around. Their commitment. Thirdly, their cooperation. In verse number 16, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Their cooperation. They worked together with others. You've heard the expression, some people need a little sign that says, does not work well with others. There are some folks like that. The household of Stephanas not only looked for an opportunity to help, but they worked alongside other people to be able to do that. That's the blessing of being a child of God. To be a member of the family of God, to be a member of the church, a member of the body, to be able to be a blessing to other people and work together to do things. Some don't want to get involved unless they are in charge. And you can spot those people easily. If they're not in charge, they're not going to get involved with it. But the simple matter is, good leaders are good followers. You find a person that can fill their responsibility and look outside the box as a follower, they will do the same thing as a leader. And the Bible says of the household of Stephanas that you submit yourselves unto such. Submit yourselves to them that are looking out for others so that you can work and labor together with them. They set the example. They set the pattern. They help and they labor. But notice it's submissive help, that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth. You know, if we can eliminate pride and eliminate ego, we've taken 90% of the devil's sails away. Because that's what he works on. He is the king over the children of pride, according to the book of Job. The king over the children of pride. And pride is the downfall. It was Satan's downfall in Isaiah chapter 14 in heaven. And it is man's prideful. Man, because of the pride of his heart, will not seek after God. Psalms chapter 10, verse 4, I believe it is. Man, because of the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Here was the household of Stephanas. Pride was gone. It was out the window. They submitted themselves to one another. They worked together. They labored together. They helped with us, Paul said. It was a submissive help. It was not an interfering help. It was not ignoring the need and looking the other way, but it was an opportunity to do something to be helpful. The household of Stephanas. Then look, if you would, secondly, at verse 17 and 18. And we see the helpfulness of Stephanas. We've talked about that already a little bit in verse 16. To everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. The helpfulness of Stephanas. Verse 17 and 18. Verse 17 said, I am glad at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which is lacking on your part have they supplied. Now remember, Paul is in Ephesus, and the church at Corinth is 100 miles away on the other side of the Aegean Sea. And Paul sitting there says, I am thankful for the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. They have traveled from Corinth all the way back to Ephesus to meet Paul there. And Paul says, I'm glad at their coming. Notice, first of all, the rejoicing they brought. The rejoicing they brought. I am glad at the coming of Stephanatus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. I am glad at their coming. Those who help a missionary are just as important as the missionary themselves. Here's a missionary, Paul. I don't know that he was discouraged. I don't know that he was depressed. I don't know that he was downhearted. But he said this, I was glad at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. It lifted, he said in verse number 18, they refreshed my spirit. It encouraged Paul. It made him glad when they came to visit that missionary. We can do things for missionaries that will make them glad. He was glad at their coming. We all have made this statement, oh no. Look who's coming. Hopefully that statement's not made about us. But sad to say, that statement can be made sometimes. Oh no, look who's coming. We want to have people around us that make us glad. Not that they're yes men or something like that, but people that encourage. Paul said, I was glad at the coming of these three men. He was glad when they came. It encouraged him. It built him up. We need to build up the missionaries. Now, we can't all get to a mission field. I understand that. We can't all go around the world to see these missionaries, but we can pray for them. We might have opportunity. I know churches that write to the missionaries on the field, and to the missionary on the field, that's a blessing. These missionaries, you see their prayer letters, their addresses, either email addresses or physical addresses. You can write to them anytime and just say, I'm a member of Bible Baptist Church and just wanted to let you know I was thinking of you today and I looked at your prayer letter and got you. You would be amazed at what that means to a missionary that's 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 miles away, not knowing what they're going through that day, and then someone from back home says, I was thinking about you today, I was praying for you, and took the time to write them a letter. I was glad at the coming of Stephanatus and Fortunatus and Achaicus. The rejoicing they brought. Do we bring rejoicing to other people? Are they glad to see us coming? The rejoicing they brought. Number two, the restoration they brought. The restoration they brought. The end of verse 17, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Now, I don't know if this was rebuke. I can read it that way. That Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, and said, that which was lacking on your part, that which you did not give, that which you would not give, they have supplied. Or Paul might simply be stating to them, that which you could not give, that which was lacking on your part, they have made up. I don't know which way that goes. I'll leave that up to your interpretation as you read that verse. But Paul is writing to the church at Corinth saying, what you couldn't give or wouldn't give, whichever it is, that which is lacking, they have supplied. That lifted Paul's spirits. Not only that they came, but what they brought. Now, what they brought was probably financial assistance. And Paul was excited by it. Paul was encouraged by their financial assistance. Folks, I can tell you this. There are missionaries that come, and you know, back when I raised my support to go to the mission field, it took about 2 years for a missionary to raise their support. They're saying it's anywhere to 3 to 5 years now. Now, one might say, well, that's because there's so many missionaries out there. Another fellow says, well, that's because there's so few churches out there. I don't know what all the ramifications of it are, but I just know missionaries are spending 3 years. And instead of doing that, missionaries are getting antsy. They're getting ahead of the thing, and they're going to the mission field under-supported. And almost every time they do that, they don't make it on the mission field. Because just imagine, I mean, isn't it the same thing here in the States? Let's say you've got more month at the end of your money, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to get through that last 7 days or 15 days and all that. And you're in the United States of America, and isn't that tough? Isn't that tough to run out of money before you run out of the month? Well, now put yourselves in a foreign country, in a foreign culture, paying rent in a foreign place, and dealing with foreign people, and banking in a foreign place, and the same things happen that way. It's devastating. Missionaries need support. When you and I give on Sunday night, we ought to give with the attitude of what we're doing to help these missionaries. We want them to be supported to such an extent that they don't have to worry about finances, so they can worry about winning souls to Christ and training believers. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and no better example of that is somebody that's worried about finances, worried about this while they're trying to do their job at the same time. Some of us have been there before. We know what that's like. Now put yourselves in a foreign field, in a foreign culture, in a foreign language, and imagine how hard it is. And many a missionary comes back from the field because they can no longer exist. They're under-supported. The only option is to be back here and spend year after year after year after year trying to raise support. It's a difficult thing to do. Paul said, I rejoiced. I was glad at the coming, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Again, it doesn't say this is financial that it's talking about here, but I can see where that would be something that Paul is concerned about. You know that he worked on the side as a tent maker to try to make ends meet and try to continue himself through. The church at Philippi one time sent them an offering, which is a great blessing and help to him. Other times other churches tried to help. And he said to them, that was a blessing to me. It restored his spirit when they came in that which was lacking. I believe another thing, not just finances, but fellowship. When they came and saw him, just for him to sit around with those other men and have some time of fellowship was a blessing to the Apostle Paul. It's a blessing to any missionary when people come and visit them. When people come out and spend some time with them. When people think of them. Just to know people are thinking. They're not. Many times a missionary thinks they're just a forgotten person. And I can tell you this, and Matt related this, and other missionaries have said this, and I remember when a missionary is on deputation, it's all glory. They come into a church, and rightfully so, they come into our church here, and we're all looking at them as the front lines in the battle of the gospel. They're the ones that are going into the heathen countries, going into the foreign countries, sacrificing and giving everything up back here to go out there. And while they're traveling to these churches, they're treated well most of the time. And they should be. They're treated well. They're fed. They're put in a hotel or a home to stay in, and everything's good. And then they get a love offering when they go, and everything's great. And it's good while they're on deputation, but then they get their plane ticket. Then they go to the foreign field. Many times at the other end, there's nobody there to meet them. They're on their own. It's a man with his wife and many times his children in a new culture, in a new environment. And he's got to find a place to stay and he's got to find transportation to get around. He's got to find furniture for his home and food for his family and all that. And it becomes a difficult time. And many a missionary gets discouraged right there. And the best thing they could get in our age of modern technology with emails and social media and all that, the best thing we could do is be there for them and give them words of encouragement. The fellowship that was lacking from the church at Corinth, these men provided. You know, most of you, if you're on the computer and you're on Facebook, or as Brother Hamblin calls it, Wastebook. If you're on Facebook, many of our missionaries are too. And they're thousands of miles away sitting in a different environment. The timetable is maybe 7 hours different, 6 hours different, in a different a day. And you can actually type a message to them on Facebook if you have that, and they're going to get it, and they're going to be encouraged by that. You can have contact with the missionaries in a way today you couldn't have years ago. And we can be a blessing to them. We can restore their spirits. We can restore them by making contact with them and letting them know that they're not forgotten and they're not alone and that folks are back here and they're praying for them. The rejoicing they brought. The restoration they brought. And verse 18, the refreshing they brought. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. They have refreshed my spirit. Wouldn't it be something? How'd you like to get to the judgment seat of Christ and stand before the Lord and the Lord says, you refreshed the spirit of the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't that be a star in your crown? You were a blessing to the Apostle Paul. That's what Stephanatus and Fortunatus and Achaicus got. They were a blessing. They refreshed the spirit of the apostle. You know what that is? That's like being the private that helped General Patton through a hard time. Being an enlisted man that helped General John MacArthur through a difficult time. Here it says of them, they refreshed the spirit of the Apostle Paul. That man who was everything he could have been for the cause of Christ according to the Bible. And yet three men that outside of this text are unknown to us refreshed his spirit. I believe, not Apostle Paul's, but I believe there's some very great people on the mission field right now. And I believe as a church we have a part in supporting very many of them. And what would it be like to know that we were an encouragement to them? That we refreshed their spirit and gave them the encouragement to continue going and to moving forward and to getting on in the cause of Christ. They refreshed my spirit. They gave encouragement. I would encourage you, and I know it's now as possible, visit a missionary on the mission field. Try to get out and see where they're living and what they're doing. It would be such a blessing, and I know that's expensive. I know it costs money. You say, well, I could use that money on something else. I understand all that term. I know what you're talking about. But it will be a life-changing event. If you've never been outside the boundaries of the United States of America, it'll be a life-changing event to visit a missionary and see what it's like on the mission field. Those things we only hear about or see slides about. You know, I've said this before. We sit in here in a controlled environment. It's going to be 68 to 70 degrees no matter what. And look at slides of some of these beautiful places in the Pacific. See Hawaii or see Micronesia or see Australia or see these places there. And we sit here in our controlled climate and look at that and say, that's paradise. That's wonderful. Yeah, but you don't see the bugs. You don't feel the heat. You don't know what the humidity is in that picture that you're looking at. You don't smell the stench in a third world country that's always present in those places. We sit and look at that. We don't get it. You get that when you go to visit. Oh, we sit here and we look at these missionaries in Romania or somewhere in Russia and we see all the snow piles up there and say, isn't that beautiful? Well, we know a little bit more about that than we do the other thing. We know how difficult that is. We know how hard it is. It would be good to visit a mission field. Some of the money Americans spend on frivolous events could be given so much more to missions. My daughter, just the other day, I think it was yesterday, there was an advertisement. She was watching something. There was an advertisement for Universal Studios or Disneyland or something down in Florida. She said, how come we've never been to Disneyland? And I didn't say this, but I was thinking, you've been to England. You've been to Kenya, Africa. You've been to the Democratic Republic of Congo. What in the world is Disneyland? And you know, follow me, it almost costs about the same amount of money to do both of those. The money it would take to pack and get to Florida and go down there and spend the money that it spends and all that is about what it would cost to go visit a missionary on a foreign field, and how much richer that would be to do that. Paul said, they brought rejoicing, they brought restoration, they brought refreshing. We can do that for other servants of God. When we're not focused on ourselves, we can do that. We can be a household that is helpful. And that's what the household of Stephanas was. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the example of this house, the household of